I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today is Yvonne Askenzi, owner and co-founder of Askenzi PR. Askenzi PR is headquartered in London and is the premier PR and marketing consultancy for the technology industry, with a special focus on cybersecurity, cloud, and big data. You can learn more about Askenzi PR at askenzipr.com. Welcome, Yvonne. So great to have you on the show.
Lovely, lovely, lovely to meet you, Hillary. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, good. It's sunny in London, which is unusual. So we can't be better than that, can we?
No, that's great news. long winter, but here we go into spring and summer.
Exactly. And that's when I'm at my happiest and I'm most productive.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So Yvonne, you started Askenzi PR in 1995. So do you want to start by telling us a little about yourself? What prompted you to start your own PR company and how things have blossomed into where they are today?
Well, who would ever have thought I would end up in cybersecurity? If you saw my house, you'd kind of go, what is this woman doing in cyber? And which kind of, I suppose, could kind of like describe so many of us. I don't think anyone ever wakes up and decides when they're sort of 11 or even 16 or 18 or 21 when they've left university and kind of go, I want to go into cybersecurity. No one wants to come into cybersecurity as one of those kind of, you just fall into it. And everyone I've ever met has fallen into cybersecurity. And that those are the best people. And I think I had actually been working at News International. I've been running exhibitions. I've been their head of PR and marketing. And I would just sell exhibitions. There were things like food and wine and all sorts. And basically I left, I set up my own business, and somebody had actually gone to read exhibitions, and they just set up a tiny little show called Info Security. And that was the first IT security show. That was 26 years ago. And they knew I could launch exhibitions. That's all I'd ever done. I launched Info Security, and the rest is history, really. I ended up, you know, people started knocking on my door. I think the first piece of coverage I ever got was a front page in the FT about, you know, all the scary things that people needed to know about then IT security. And I think the cybersecurity industry was just kind of beginning and blossoming. And I was at the very beginning of it. And I knew how to kind of turn, because I'd had to sell things like gardening or kind of, you know, food and wine into the national newspapers. I knew I had to turn cybersecurity, make it interesting and sexy. So I've always done that. And everyone who works for me has to think out the box, has to be creative. And we have, because there are 3,000 cybersecurity companies out there. How do you actually stand out and make your company look more interesting than everybody else's? And that's really how I started. That's how we've sort of succeeded. And 26 years later, we're still standing with, I suppose, the biggest cyber, well, who is going to be a specialist cybersecurity PR agency, we're crying out loud. But it has become our specialism. And we've got a whole crowd of people that work for us in the US. And in France and Germany and the UK.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, congratulations. I mean, really, really cool. I looked at your website, and your offices seem really, you know, vibrant and fun and dynamic. And that always creates you know, great ideas. So that's awesome.
And color.
Yeah.
Color and imagination. And that's, funny enough, just before I came on the call, Hillary, I was with the kitchen. I was just kind of, you know, as we all multitask, do we not? Working from home now. So I had the kitchen guy around because I need to get a new kitchen. And I was saying, I want it to be really outrageous. I want it to be creative. And he's kind of like, well, we only do German kitchens. I'm thinking, okay, I'm sure we can make a German kitchen look amazing and make it look fantastic. So I think that's what we do. That's what we have to do. We have to differentiate ourselves from other people, haven't we? And that's what we do with cyber.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of differentiating ourselves, your Askenzi PR, you conducted a study that was picked up in a recent Forbes article. That the article itself was by Adrian Bridgewater. It was titled "Gender Diversity in the Software Industry: Why It Matters." And your study utilized Cybersecurity Ventures Hot 150 Cyber Companies to Watch in 2021. Do you want to just tell us about what sparked interest in conducting the study, what the study was, and then what you all found?
Of course. And again, this is us trying to think out of the box. So it's very important for a PR agency to be doing their own PR as well. So we try and do surveys as often as we can. I love a good old survey, and everyone knows that, who any of our clients know, that we'll make sure we do surveys off the stands or booths, as you call it in the US. You know, we will always try and do original research, and that's what stands most other companies from others. You know, if you've got, if you're a cybersecurity company and you've got your own studies, your own research department, you will always get far more coverage than anybody else. So we know we actually kind of swallow our own pill here, and we actually try and do lots of research ourselves. And with International Women's Day, which was in March, we wanted to actually have a look at how many women are actually on the boards of cybersecurity companies. And of course, we cited your fabulous 150 cybersecurity ventures hot companies. And we actually had a look, and we actually analysed and sort of really homed in and had a look at how many women are actually on those boards. And I know for a fact, when I walk around any of these shows like Black Hat or RSA or InfoSecurity, and I've been doing it forever, I'm like one of the few women there. Mm. They are all men. And this industry is hugely dominated by men. So it's no surprise that we found out that out of 609 board positions out of that 150 of the cybersecurity ventures companies, 60 are taken up by females. That's 10%.
Wow.
I mean, 10%. And I remember at university when I was there, like God knows how many years ago, you know, we were talking about this kind of bridging the gender gap. And so I was probably at university maybe 30 years ago. And I don't believe, I cannot believe 30 years later, and I've got two young daughters who are in their early 20s, we haven't changed in 30 years. I mean, this is insane. So, you know, this is what the research looked at. And you know, it came up with some pretty sad statistics. 16% of women are in management positions within the world's leading cybersecurity companies. And that's just mad. And I think what, and then when you actually kind of home in on it, you find that the women that are on board, or the women that are in the management teams, are in all of those kind of predictable positions like HR or marketing. That's it. So you don't get very many that are doing the IT stuff, the CTOs, all that sort of stuff. And I think we were finding out of, I mean, you have a guess here, Hillary, how many female CEO positions there are that are held in these 150 companies?
Oh my gosh. 5%? Probably that's too high, honestly. I don't even know.
No way. It's nowhere near that. 8. There are 8 female CEOs in cybersecurity companies.
No. 8?
Yeah. 8.
Oh.
8. And there is one company and that they're all female. The whole, the entire female management team are women. And actually, I need to find out which one that is, because I was really impressed with that.
Yeah.
Compared to 19 companies that have entirely male management teams. And I know there's something that's going on in the US, isn't there? Because I think when I was over there last year, God, that seems unbelievable, doesn't it? I can't believe when I was at RSA. It's just like, really? How could that possibly be? You know, we were having a look at, you've got laws that say you have to. I think maybe it's in on the West Coast in California. You have to have, do you not, women on in the management? Do you not have to have at least one woman on the management board?
I'm not sure, and because I'm on the East Coast, so I'm not sure if they have laws by state on the West Coast specifically. Probably California. California is always ahead of the rest of us anyway regarding policy and things like that. But I'd have to look into that further. But that's interesting.
And what about on the East Coast then? Are there no laws where you have to make sure that you have women on the board? At least one?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'm not. It's funny, my husband's a civil rights attorney. I'm not paying attention to what he's doing. I don't know if there are. It's a tricky thing. Creating quotas like that. So I know he'll tell me about that. He's like, well, it's tricky because you have to have diversity and inclusion, but you can't, it's a little, I'd have to, maybe that's something we should actually have someone on who's a like maybe perhaps an attorney in cyber who could speak to that more about if you can have quotas for those sorts of things, or if it's just, is it law versus policy? Because the policy of a company isn't law, you know what I mean? So perhaps the company itself has that policy where, you know, we need to have at least this. You know, it's hard when you put numbers to things, though, too, because then it's like it almost feels performative in a way. Like it's not, because it's raising awareness and it's very important. And sometimes that's the only way that you can create that, or at least open the door to equality. But it does. It gets a little tricky with that, because you want people to feel like they're there because they're qualified to be there, and that they're, yes, you know what I mean? So that's that. Therein kind of lies the rub when I start going down that path.
It's really interesting, Hillary, that you just said that, because I have this conversation all the time with my staff. Most of us, actually, just trying to think, most of my, I suppose, two thirds of my staff are women, and I often have this conversation with them. They kind of go, no, we've got to push more and more women into cybersecurity, and we do need to push more and more women into cybersecurity. But on the other hand, I also have this kind of weird thing inside of me that kind of goes, no one's fought my corner as a woman. I've certainly never played any kind of woman card or female card. I've never ever do that. I've done everything in my entire life, not just my professional life, because of my qualities.
Right.
So I agree with you that in actual fact, it's a bit like saying, you know, should we have everyone with just one leg on the board? And then that would be impossible. But should we? And I do think that we need to do something, because otherwise nothing's going to happen.
Right.
But on the other hand, if there are no women out there in that, for that particular company, in that particular region that has those particular skills, you don't want to find someone who's not as good, dare I say it, as some man. but there is that. And I do agree with that. I think sometimes you can be a little, it can go the other way. And I think you have to be very careful. I think we have to do everything we can to make cybersecurity such an interesting, exciting, sexy, fulfilling career to go into, that we have everybody to come into it, because we need so many more people to come into this industry. And it's a much better industry, a better paid industry, than if you were to even go into law or medicine at the beginning.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, as you grow up, you know, because I know my niece is a psychiatrist and she works 13-hour days.
Right.
And when she left university and she went to Oxford, so she had a most brilliant kind of career behind her. Mm. By the time you actually equated how many hours she'd done versus the pay that she would have been paid,
oh, yeah,
she was probably at about £3 or, you know, $4 an hour.
Right.
Compared to a graduate that may have done coding out of university, and they may be on, I don't know, £15-20 an hour, $15 to $20 an hour. So I think we need to, as kind of real passionate people within the industry, somehow get to everybody out there. And I do. I tell the taxi drivers. I tell anyone leaving university. I tell everybody, don't be an Uber driver. Come into cybersecurity. We can train you. Anyone. This is the most phenomenally exciting, varied industry to come into, and it's multifaceted, and there is a place for everybody of every sort of kind of, you know, intellectual level, and also diversity, you know, neurodiversity, which is very, very exciting. There's a place here for everybody, women or men, you know, depending, it doesn't matter your sex, actually, at the end of the day, in my opinion. It shouldn't really matter. It's really, you will make your own way here. You will earn a brilliant living. And it's a kind industry. You know, before I came into this industry, I was promoting exhibitions in a whole load of areas, other areas. And if you go into fashion, they're hard. They're cruel. They can be really quite cruel, yeah, and very kind of judgmental. They can be mean. You know, there's lots of other industries. I don't think I'd particularly want to be in finance. I wouldn't want to be in finance and insurance. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Again, another male dominated industry. You know, this is a very inclusive, kind. I always say kind because the people I've met have been really very, very good to me. And I just think it's a, well, listen, I'm a fan of it. It's been brilliant. And I'm very excited that my youngest daughter left university last year and has come to join us as well. So she's yet another woman that's come into the industry. And I'm proud to say she knows a hell of a lot about cybersecurity.
Well, that's wonderful. And I want to touch upon a couple of things that you mentioned, because I found your points really fascinating and they resonated really strongly with me, which was it's the marketing and the PR brain. And I have that brain too, because that's my background before I joined Cybercrime Magazine this past year, actually 2020. I was in advertising and then I was in experiential marketing. Obviously, experiential marketing died the pandemic. Yeah. And so I share that background of, exhibits and going to, helping brands build experiences at trade shows and things like that. And it's very grueling. It's very exhausting. Even though you're working, I remember one event we worked 80 hours in 4 days. I mean, that's not a joke. That's real.
That sounds like a typical RSA.
Right. that's what we worked to make the event happen. But there are still so many, to your point, so many women going into marketing, whether it's advertising, experiential, whatever, because it is sexier and it's appealing and it looks very glamorous. And you think that's the path. That's for me. I'll be able to have some strategy. I'm good at relationships. Like, I was the client manager, I was the client director, whatever. And we essentially need to your point, kind of carbon copy that for cyber, because the past, almost year I've had exposure into this industry, this world. It's all of those things and more. It just doesn't get as much coverage, to your point. And that's, of course, what your company is doing. But I think that's a really interesting point. And I've yet to have this. This is the first time I'm talking about this with someone on the show. So yeah. It excites me, because I'm like, oh, that does kind of feel like a part of the solution, because we do kind of, we talk about the problem, we talk about building awareness, but at the end of the day, there's still going to be that kind of barrier if it's not as appealing, if it's not as shiny, but it is. And it's just,
how, Hillary, are we ever going to teach people about awareness if we don't make it, and we're not, if we don't make it interesting and creative? I have spent my entire life trying to make people wake up and actually realize that cyber, you will be hacked, you could have your identity taken, and it's all about storytelling. And every company, I've realized, and this is another whole subject, I won't even go there, but how PR has changed. But PR is changing, and I think companies now, everyone keeps asking about influencers, how do we become an influencer, or how do we actually get to the influencers? And I then kind of say, well, you need to create your own internal influencers within your own companies. That's how you need to do it. You need to make, and instead of having tons of magazines like we had in the olden days, we now haven't. Everybody's website is becoming a little media center in itself.
Yeah.
And therefore you need tons of storytellers. And that can be, and in cybersecurity, we desperately need storytellers that can somehow make the story so compelling that our children, our parents, our grandparents actually get it. Because if they don't get it, the hackers will get us, because they're much smarter. So you need all sorts of people to kind of come into our industry from all the facets. And funny enough, when I talk to the CISOs, which I do a lot, they say some of the best people are not the cybersecurity people that may have gone in there, kind of done a cybersecurity, degree or come in that way. They may have been the secretary to the CEO, who then, they've done some internal kind of recruiting, and this, and the PA has come in from the CEO's PA, and said, I'm really interested in the sector. And because that particular person has been taught kind of how to be discreet, how to understand the way people work, they have an intuition, they kind of suss people out. It's all the kind of skills you need to become, a really smart cybersecurity professional. So, even if you're in the sailing, or you're kind of a woman that's returning to work, you may have been out of work for a year or two, but you have all of those skills that can go into all sorts of things, as in writing the product sheets or sort of being the communicator. And I think this industry lacks really good communicators, because techies don't tend to be communicators. They like to sit in a room, they like to code, they like to sit behind a computer. They're often introverts, and introverts are not great communicators. So you need these kind of more gregarious, vivacious personalities that, as you so rightly would, may have thought, well, I may as well go into advertising because that's going to be fantastic, or I need to go into media, that's going to be amazing. I should be a journalist. Well, actually, try and get a job as a blinking journalist. There are no more jobs as journalists, but actually start to write good content for all of these millions of websites that are going to all need fantastic, compelling, you know, really exciting content. We need content creators. We need great people that can go out there and storytell, and that can be anybody. So those are the sorts of people, if they want to earn good money, ought to come into our industry, because it's absolutely burgeoning. It's growing. It's this huge blossoming industry that's young, vibrant, and new. And I think that somehow we will have to do a job to somehow excite people and get them into it. Because, as I said, every single cybersecurity company, and there's 3,000 of them out there or more, all need to be able to tell compelling stories.
I love that. And I was actually just listening. We have an Ask the CISO series, and I was listening to an interview with Liz Joyce, who's the SVP and CISO, or at least she was at the time, of Hewlett Packard Enterprises. And she was saying that communication is the most important skill, number one. And it's a great point about attracting young talent, because we do have the cyber talent gap where we are at, I think we're at like 3.5 million unfilled positions, something around there. And I mean, it's just enormous. And I think what you made me think of when you were just elaborating was that this industry is also, we're doing good, you know, like we're protecting each other, we're protecting our infrastructures, our nation states, etc. And so you can kind of check off everything on your list, you know, like if you want to do something really fascinating, something really strategic, something really technical, but you also want to have, you know, maybe it sounds mushy, but like a higher purpose, like a good, you know, a mission driven career, like this is it. Like you can do those things and you can achieve that as well. You know, a lot of folks that I speak with who have been in the military, they're like, well, that was what I really wanted to do. I wanted to serve. So I went into the military or the IDF or what have you. And that was part of who I am. And I wanted to continue that in my career. And this is really meaningful. So I feel like you can really achieve so many different things with this. But to your point, unless we're promoting that and exposing, I'd say, like middle schoolers, because as we know, it's around that time that girls can start to think, I'm not very good at math and science, and I'm not going to, you know, work as hard at that, because that's kind of, you know, we've encouraged boys historically to focus on those paths, but not girls. And so that's where we need, there's more work to be done. And I feel like we're kind of drilling down in this conversation to a place that really excites me.
Yeah, well, we started talking about women, but and I think, you know, you're just saying it's about the better good and trying to do something really good. I really genuinely feel that I could leave this career, and I've done such a long time in this career, and I actually have never had one bored day in my entire life. I can't wait to get to work on a Monday morning. I love what I do, but more importantly, it's a case of kind of like, loving what you do and encouraging lots and lots and lots of people to come into it, but showing the diversity of the industry, and getting these young guys to come into it and realize that it's a great industry to be in, and as I said before, it's a well-paid industry. But you'll actually feel at the end of the day you've done something really great. You've actually kind of saved some old grandma from having her entire, right, you know, all her kind of treasures stolen. And it's a bit, and I think that's the key. And I said to you before, it's an industry made up of phenomenal people, really good people, genuinely good people. I think it's because the people that come in, the CISOs you meet, and from the top to the very bottom, they're all really great people that we all feel that we're part of this common movement to try and protect other people and to build this awareness, which is why I'm so passionate about awareness, but build products that are proper, strong products that are going to do a really good job. I know you, And there are many industries where people are just doing it because they just want to get a fast buck. I don't think that's what most people in this industry are about. They actually want to be part of a really honest, good industry. And that's why I say I think it's made up of really good people, because I think at the end of the day, they're trying to do something good. So, yeah, I think between us all, Hillary, we need to try and campaign. I was then going to say something about hackers and the fact that, you know, that there's a very bad image about coming into cybersecurity, because they then think, oh, it's all these hoodies, it's these mm-hmm. young 18-year-old pimply boys from their bedroom hacking into, you know, the Department of whatever.
Yeah.
It isn't. And I think we need to change that perception of hackers, and that there are an awful lot of fantastic hackers who are white hat hackers. You know, they are ethical hackers that are doing fantastic job, and they're playing this constant game of cat and mouse. And we need to try and get far more of these really, really great guys on board from school as well, to say, you know, don't go on the bad side, come onto the good side, because the good side, you're going to earn an awful lot more money. And it's also going to be a really kind of, you're going to feel a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
So I think the image, I think we do suffer from an image problem. And I think that's got to be one of the most important. And actually, now I have you here. I've had it for a very long time, an idea of doing, and especially if you're a kind of that mindset, Hillary, you know, of doing kind of marketing and stuff. I've always wanted to do a photographic competition where we actually kind of say, we want people to send in not just photography, but images of what they think would be the face of the hacker, of cybersecurity, not the hacker then, cybersecurity. So what does the face of cybersecurity look like? So we get away from this ghastly hooded young man. And I would love to do a photo competition, and I'd love to put the money up front for it and actually have kind of like, you know, whatever, we have like a prize at the end of it. And we should all think about trying to do that together, because I think that is a campaign that if we were to change the face a bit and get people thinking it's not that hoodie, but it's actually something else. What is it? I have no idea. That's the challenge.
I love that idea. I think that's a fantastic idea. And I think about, yeah, my experience before joining the cyber industry and perceiving that Mr. Robot hoodie hacker dude, and now speaking with you and so many other women and men, and the diversity and you're right, the absolute inclusion. It's such a kind industry of folks who are just trying to do better things. And so I think that's a really good idea. So I'm curious if that will kind of blossom into something further, but I know things like that, you're always like, this is a great idea, but does somebody else have the time to make that?
I know. And
reality?
It's always me that does it. It's always me that does it. Well, I have a fantastic team of people behind me as well that will always help to make these things happen. So if someone's listening today and says, let's do it, I'm up for it, and I'm happy to put the money up there, but I'd love to find out what is the face of cybersecurity. And there are very, very few images. If you have a look, everyone's website uses the same old images from the same old kind of, you know, library of images. And they are dreadfully boring, samey, and nothing really original and clever and smart. And we need a lot more of that. And I would love people to come forward and say, well, I think I've got some good ideas. If you have, I'm up for it.
Well, I love that. It actually makes me think of like, here in the States, like the We Need You, like Uncle Sam, but it would be global, and it would be kind of destigmatizing, you know, what cybersecurity yes. needs and how the world
exactly.
needs more to help protect us all.
Precisely.
I love that. And just quickly, I did want to, because it was something that we touched upon, and I wanted to loop back to it really quick, that the Forbes article that I referenced earlier that your study was quoted in, it discusses how there's been progress with gender parity in tech, but that some female professionals have kind of formed a backlash stance against the women in IT initiatives. And we kind of touched upon that, right? Because we're like, well, it's that thing where we want more women on the board, but we don't want to feel as though it's performative. So how do we tackle that? Because we're our own allies. We have to help raise each other up, bring each other up. But how that's a layered issue. How do we go about kind of unpacking that?
That's such a big question. I mean, are you asking me how do we get more women into cyber? Or is that what you're kind of asking me? Or
do, I guess it's bull. It's sort of like, how do we, okay, it's this. How do we get women in cyber who might feel put off by those types of initiatives to come around to them? Like, how do we kind of demonstrate that the only way, one of the paths to creating gender parity is by initiatives that encourage more women in cyber and bring awareness to that? Because some women that I've spoken with, they're kind of like, well, I don't really think, I'll ask the question like, well, what does being a woman in cyber mean to you? And they're like, well, I don't really think about it that way. I don't really think I'm a woman in cyber. I think I'm a person in cyber. And I completely understand where they're coming from in that, because
so do I.
And so go ahead.
I was just going to say, exactly. I say that all the time. I said that at the beginning, didn't I? I don't think of myself as a woman I am a woman in cybersecurity, actually, but I never think of myself as that. I think of myself as Ivona Skenzi. You know, I am who I am. I'm no different to any guy, I don't think. Well, obviously, I am obviously very different. But I think the way you have to do it is do things like this. I think you have to show constantly in internal, you know, in large companies. You cited the lady who works at Hewlett Packard. You know, it's kind of doing great spotlights on her and how exciting her job is. So other women in Hewlett Packard that may be working in, like I said, the PA, you know, the PA, she may then suddenly kind of go, actually, I can do that job. And that sounds far more interesting. I think it's down to us to show how exciting the jobs are that we're doing. And showing the varied jobs that we're doing as well, from, you know, it isn't just HR, it isn't just marketing, you know, it can be, you know, it is or legal or something like that, because we've got a lot of, you know, got a lot of women who go into law, thank goodness. But the technical side, I think you just have to spotlight those really incredibly exciting jobs that are out there that just happen to be held by women, and expose those women and their jobs. And there's far more, we're doing a really good job of it, though, I've got to say.
Yeah.
In all the 26 years I've been around, no one has used to talk about this.
Right.
And in the last couple of years, everyone's talking about it. Mm. I don't even remember having International Women's Day, can you, a couple of years ago?
No, and I don't remember that pre-2016. I don't know when it started, honestly.
No. So we are all trying to do a really good job. And I think it's down to the women and the men to kind of do kind of an expose of exciting jobs. And like you said, there's this huge, massive gap in our industry anyway. So it's not just women we want to get into that. We want to get all sorts. So it's not just promoting women. It's going out to the big wide world and kind of going, look, we've got this kid I used to work with a company who were a bug bounty company up until about a year ago. But they managed to get this guy, a South American guy in Argentina, the guy called Santiago, and we did a big story on him on the BBC. He was an 18-year-old hacker that had come to the good side and was earning $1 million a year from bug bounting, which is all about, you know, ethical hacking stuff. He would go in and find lots of bugs and stuff. $1 million. He was aged 18 in Argentina, and he had his big Rolls Royce, and he had his swimming pool, his tennis court in Argentina. And that doesn't matter that he's not a woman. He's a young guy that will hopefully encourage other people, whether they are, you know, girls or boys, or whoever, to come into our industry. I don't think the sex matters. I think it's just attracting really enthusiastic, you know, sensible people that just want to come into the industry because they're going to do a great job, and it's fun.
Right.
It's really good fun.
It's very fun. And I've had so much fun speaking with you, Yvonne. Thank you so much for this conversation. I'm just really excited for folks to listen to it, and I hope that they really enjoy, and perhaps they'll reach out and want to help with the, you know, I want to help you with the photographic competition now.
I think it would be good fun to do. We can talk afterwards.
Okay, good.
I'd love to get it off. Listen, Cybercrime Magazine should be getting involved. We could be on the front cover of Cybercrime Magazine. That could be the award. How cool would that be?
That would be pretty cool.
But absolutely. Yeah, that would be good. So we'll talk about that. And as you said, if anyone's listening, please come and talk to me about it. It's a burning idea of mine I've had for ages, and I want to do it.
Awesome. Well, Yvonne, Thank you so much again. This has been such a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. All mine. Lovely to talk to you, Hillary. And thank you for inviting me onto the program. It's been great fun.
Of course. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Yvonne Askenzi, owner and co-founder of Askenzi PR. Askenzi PR is headquartered in London and is the premier PR and marketing consultancy for the technology industry, with a special focus on cybersecurity, cloud, and big data. You can learn more about Askenzi PR at askenzipr.com, and you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.